Hi, folks. It's Scott from buyandselldvc.com. Have you ever thought of giving your family a lifetime of Disney vacations? What if we told you you can lock in today's rate for the next 50 years? Again, that's buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and we hope you're enjoying the seasonal change of the weather. Everything is cooling nicely. The leaves are changing colors. We have a special guest, a returning guest, one of my very good friends, Tamara Spidell. Tamara, how are you doing?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. We're sitting in our basements. We got our fall hoodies on. You have temperamental weather, to say the least, over by you in Colorado. You got any snow yet? I'm curious. Any snow by you?
No, thank God. I'm not ready for that yet.
Knock on wood, because it's coming in like the next like 3 days by you, right? You never know.
No, I don't think so. I don't see it in the forecast yet. Okay. But who knows? Mother Nature could change her mind at any moment.
We have listeners who have reported snow by them already. Of course, it is in northern Canada, so I don't know if that quite counts as, I mean, that's pretty predictable at this point. But before we start, I want to give a shout out, and before we talk about what's good in your life, I want to give a shout out to the DCA, the Dubs Community Alliance. We have essentially a community calendar project. So if you check out EDCOT or the Monorail Tales group, what we're trying to do is essentially we're assembling your favorite family memories from any theme park or really any place that makes you happy. And we're going to compile them into a cool calendar, something that you can put in your office. And we've actually got a site that we're going to use. The calendars are really inexpensive. But what we're looking for is support from the community. So if you're listening today, join us in EDCOT or the Monorail Tales page. And what we really need is your favorite pictures. It could be good. It could be bad pictures. It could be bloopers that we're looking for as well, too. Send them via direct message to either Rick Forbes or Cassandra Callahan. I don't even have to say it twice because I know you're probably friends with them already. So send them direct messages with your favorite pictures, and they're going to assemble a cool community calendar. And that is a fundraiser for the DCA. Okay. That being said, our business is taken care of. Tamara, what's good in your life? Give me something good.
Oh, my gosh. I think this change into fall, coming back from my trip that I think we're going to be talking about. Okay. It was so lovely driving home to see the leaves starting to change and, you know, seeing those golden colors in the trees. And it just made me very excited and like got back and watched some good college football yesterday. So I just am feeling all the good fall vibes.
Well, if you're listening below, let's say Kentucky, you're like, yeah, but fall is like 2 months. But if you're listening north of Kentucky, you're like, no, fall is like 1.5 weeks. And that's it. Because it goes from summer to fall to like winter overnight. So yeah. But enjoy what we can. Look at you. Look at you being all boastful about Colorado football all of a sudden.
No. Okay. Now.
What's this about?
I'm not boasting about CU football necessarily. Like, yay, I am very excited that, you know, perhaps I don't have to say it's another building year for the eighth year in a row. But, you know, just college football in general is, I would prefer to watch that over NFL any day. Also, the Broncos are really stinking it up right now, so I don't really care to watch the Broncos. It was just college football in general.
There is something nice and seasonal about having college football on, even in the golf shop. It means the onset of, you know, just the change of seasons and change of weather. So, you know, we were talking off the air, and here's the interesting way we're going to lead into today's show. So as you look back at the, you know, the catalog of Dubs episodes, you realize we've been on the air since 2015. And in over or close to 8 years of being on the air, we've seen listeners demographics change. We've seen families essentially as loyal listeners and age up and age out as their children move to college. And essentially Disney becomes less important in their lives. It's a standard process when you're essentially a young family going to families with teenagers, with older kids and whatnot. Occasionally, though, Disney stays as part important of your life. Even as the kids age, moms and dads are like, no, we've always enjoyed that family entertainment. We've always enjoyed what it made us feel when we were down there. And that's partially what we're going to lead into the show. But while I have you on the air, it's a relevant question. Your daughter is now, you know, away at college. It's her second year, correct? Is Sarah's second year?
Yep.
Okay. So how has Disney changed in your life from when we were first friends or back in 2015, 2016 to like what life is like right now?
Mm-hmm. It's funny you bring that up in conjunction with the DCA calendar project, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm looking at pictures and just kind of even just the types of pictures that we would take and how many we would take from mm-hmm. when Sarah was younger to now. I think that, so I will always love Disney and I'll never turn down a trip to any Disney theme park. But I don't feel the like, oh, I have to eat the things that everybody's talking about or buy the merch that everybody's talking about. Or I don't know. It's just a little bit more of a laid back kind of relaxed pace. We try to go and just take it all in, take mm-hmm. in the sights and the sounds and the smells. It's not as crazy like rope drop to close. Like we used to full on go command.
I was going to say, I wanted to correct you on that. I'm not sure everyone did.
No, my husband definitely was not partaking in that. I made him do that once. And that was the last time that happened. And then suddenly all of our fall trips became girl trips because he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Do you see that potentially changing as you move towards another stage of your life, as you move towards like the second stage of your life? If you were to go and find yourself, like your mom lives in the Orlando area. Mm-hmm. And let's say you were down there for a 30-day or 45-day or a couple month stretch as a snowbird. Do you see that changing again where all of a sudden you may be eating the foods that people eat? You may be going to Food and Wine repeatedly. Do you see that as a potential for you to fall in love again? But this time it's Tamara's version, not Tamara as the wife or the individual as opposed to Tamara as the mom. Do you see that happening?
Oh, yes. I mean, if we were to be down there, I would love to be a snowbird. I think I would just go. It would be really nice to not feel the pressure to be there right when it opens. Like, I think that's a big part of it, right? Is you want to get your money's worth. So, because those tickets are not cheap. But I think if we lived down there for a significant chunk of time, it would just be a more like, you know, oh, let's go have lunch at Via Napoli today. Or let's, you know, it would probably be less about all the rides and just more about the ambiance and the atmosphere and definitely the food.
Correct. So taking in what you can without having to worry about taking it all in all the time. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you mentioned a few things we're going to hit back on. You mentioned about ticket prices and trying to go and, you know, get all that you can. And that's going to definitely parlay right into our show.
Yes.
So as your life has changed, you've gone from being a principal and you're still involved in education, but your job now offers you the opportunity to travel a little bit. Yes. So explain what was going on and like the text string and explain what was going through your mind. If you could set the table, please.
Sure. So, I just got back from a business trip to Anaheim, for a conference of, it's, I don't know, school personnel administrator. So essentially now I work in HR. I oversee talent management and recruitment for our district. So it was a conference, all those things. So it was a bunch of educators because HR conferences, HR people are weird. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know. I probably ended up in HR because I probably needed to behave more. And they thought, well, if she has to teach people how to behave and do it, then maybe she'll behave better.
You have to force you. To force them to
behave better. So I went down to or went over to Anaheim. There was a group of five of us from the district that attended this conference. And we got in on Monday. What was that? October 3rd? Mm-hmm. And then got back Friday. So it was a quick trip during the week.
Okay. Okay, so you're in Anaheim. Yes. Obviously, Anaheim is home to Disneyland.
It is.
And so at some point, you must have had the wheels start spinning and said, what opportunity do I have to go and visit, you know, essentially the original Magic Kingdom? So exactly. How did this take place and what was the thought there?
Okay. So initially I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to have time to fit it in. And then I was like, but I'm going to have a super bad case of FOMO. If I don't go, I'm going to regret it. There was this constant like internal battle in my brain of like, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? So, you know, we got in relatively early on Monday. The time change, you know, the time zones were in our favor in that regard. So, so we flew out Monday. I think Sunday night, I finally bit the bullet and I decided to buy a ticket. My husband was like, Tamara, you have to go. If you don't go, you're going to regret it and you're going to be so mad. So I bought a ticket for Monday because our flight got in around, I think we got in around 1 in the afternoon and we flew into the John Wayne Airport. And so it was, you know, super close. And our hotel was, I mean, 2 blocks from Disneyland. So I figured, you know, maybe I could make the most of it. Now, I will say that I tried to see if they had like, you know, after 4 tickets or something, and they didn't. But Disney's California Adventure has the Oogie Boogie Bash, their Halloween party. And I thought, okay, that's the perfect thing to do because it's not going to be as expensive probably as a full day ticket. The hours work out great for me getting in. I don't have to rush to get to the park. Well, all those dates are sold out and they've probably been sold out forever. Yeah. So I was like, well, shoot, I guess that's not going to work. So I decided to get a ticket for Disneyland because Disney's California Adventure, I think, closed, I want to say at like 6 for the party over there. Okay. So it wouldn't have made sense to buy a ticket, even though I've never been to California Adventure and I would love to check it out. It just didn't seem to make sense, you know, even with the Disney math.
One of my questions was, why'd you pick Disneyland over California Adventure? So logistically, you're spending $150 for a 3-hour experience at California Adventure. Okay, pass. We're going to pass on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have questions even before we start. Are you experienced in doing the parks by yourself? Is this something you prefer? Or even vacationing? Are you a vacationer as a solo traveler? Or like, do you need people to bounce ideas and thoughts and conversation off?
I love to be with my people. Okay. For those of you familiar with the love languages, my love language is quality time, which means I want to spend quality time with people. So that kind of stunk because nobody else that I was traveling with wanted to go to Disneyland. Okay. So I had to go I ended up going by myself. And I think none of them are into Disney. I mean, definitely not to the level that I am. And then when they saw how much a 1-day ticket was, they were like, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. So you're committed. Solo trip.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors, but yet we're going to go do it, right? At this point, you got a solo trip, not necessarily in your wheelhouse. You've got fairly expensive cost. What was the cost of the ticket, may I ask?
$170.
Okay.
I will tell you is more than if I had spent 1 day at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. It's close, but okay. But you're also getting into the park at 3-ish?
I want to say I think I got there about 2:45.
But we are essentially open till midnight, so we've got eight and a half hours to be at the park. So a better financial, you know, conversion, I guess you'd say. And honestly, even if the parks are open for 12 hours in Florida, I think the average family probably only spends between 7 to 8 to 9 hours at the parks. Because when you got little ones, I know you're thinking, oh, we have all day. No, that doesn't happen. If you have little ones, that doesn't happen. You know, you're there until they run out of battery power and that's it because the trip's over at that point or the day's over. Okay. So I just wanted to set that up. So solo trip, Disneyland, and you're landing. So are you fighting exhaustion or are you tired at this point? Or are you landing and you're like, I'm ready to roll. Let's do it.
So I had been up since 3:30 Denver time. Not because of the flight, just because I don't know what is happening in my world, but I am in my I don't sleep era allegedly right now. I don't know if it's my age, if I'm going through a big change, but I sleep horribly. So I had been up for a very long time, but I wasn't really tired until much later. Okay. So I was still raring to go.
Gotcha. I hear that hits when you reach 30. So,
30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hit 30. So. Okay. Outstanding. You're walking from your hotel to Disneyland. Is that correct?
Yes.
Give me the observation of the local area. So, you know, we rarely talk about Disneyland, but yet it has such a special place in my heart. But like, there are things that a Walt Disney World veteran just would not be used to or be surprised at Disneyland.
Yep.
The largest is essentially it's a compound in air quotes, but it's not a resort in that sense that it's literally plopped into the middle of an urban area.
Yeah.
So give me some observations from your hotel to the park, please.
I was absolutely shocked at how walkable all the things Disney was from my hotel, but then in Disney, it took me less than 20 minutes to walk at a leisurely pace from my hotel to get into the park. So super duper easy. I never once took an Uber anywhere, except to and from the airport. You know, there was a little bit of local flavor a few times. I don't know if you want me to share this story or not.
Share. Absolutely.
So I will say I was expecting to see a lot more homeless people on my walks to and from and around the hotel. And, you know, there definitely were some. However, one of the days, I think it was maybe the day after I went to Disneyland. I don't remember. We always would go for like a walk during the lunchtime, just because when you're sitting at a conference, it's just good to get up and move. So we had gone for a walk. We got back to the hotel and a couple of my colleagues decided to go to Starbucks and then meet us back up at the conference. And they came back and their eyes were wide and they were like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what is going on. So literally the place gas station we had just walked by, not 30 minutes before, I guess there was a man who was wielding a knife and the police shot him dead right at the gas station. So it was crazy. And we had heard from some other conference goers who were there when it happened. Just, it was horribly traumatic. So, you are in a city where things can happen.
I was going to say, let's put an asterisk in there by saying you're in the middle of an urban environment. Yes. In Los Angeles to the Anaheim area it's number two city in terms of population. If it can happen, I mean, it will, it's going to, you know, this is the reality of life.
I mean, that being said, I never felt unsafe, you know, like my mom, bless her. She was like, I don't think you should walk to Disneyland by yourself. Like this is, I don't know. I just don't think that's safe. And so she's like, you know, in true mom fashion, she's like, please make sure you're sharing your location with all of your coworkers that you're with. And she was literally stalking me on the Find My app as I'm walking to and from, you know, Disneyland. So it was, but I really did feel very safe walking around, even though there was a murder block from our hotel. But, you know, not once was like in Denver, I will like in my own neighborhood, sometimes we have, some people who are experiencing homelessness who get a little agitated and a little confrontational. So that never happened. There was a dude who had two very large snakes that he had with him. He's standing on the sidewalk with these big pet snakes. And that was a little creepy, but.
Interesting. Dr. Facilier is out in the urban environment. You know, we joke about that, but there is a homeless population pandemic and there's a crisis in California. And you do see that from the airport to the hotel. You do see, you know, tent encampments. And it's just a reality of life in California. They have a major crisis going on. They're not sure how to resolve that. Yeah. I think there's a bigger problem in the country with that. But anyways, back to the show.
Yes.
So when we traveled from our hotel to Disneyland, we never felt unsafe as well too. It is a urban area, but it's not like Grand Theft Auto Anaheim. It really is. There's hotels, there's Panera Breads. I mean, it is just an urban area.
And there's so many people that are walking to and from Disneyland all day long too. Like you're always with a group of people. Like I was never walking alone.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. So you're in the parks within 20 minutes. This is your first trip in how long? How many years?
Decades. Like at first I was thinking I haven't been there since I was 16, but now I'm thinking it may have been even earlier than that. I think maybe I was probably 14 or 15 the last time I was at Disneyland. So, you know, Disney's California Adventure didn't exist. And as a kid, so I was born in San Diego and I lived in California the first 8 years of my life. And my mom would take me to Disneyland a lot. But it's so weird walking into Disneyland. It was just this weird, like, Twilight Zone. This is sort of like Magic Kingdom, but maybe like Magic Kingdom and the Upside Down. Like, it was very, it was not familiar. It was familiar, but not, like, I did not know my way around, not even close. Like, I feel like I just sort of walked in circles for a while, and I kept stopping and looking at the map and trying to figure out, okay, how do I get from here to there? And it was crowded. Holy cow.
Okay, hang on. So let's talk a few things here. There's interesting things, especially with the crowded, because that was a Monday, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting in its own right. But so you're speaking from the perspective of the Walt Disney World veteran.
Yeah.
And then having Disneyland appear like the Upside Down version, where as opposed to someone that would be, you know, in California, be like, what is with Walt Disney World? You know, yeah. That does not belong there.
Yeah.
Did you feel like any more romanticized version as you were walking around, though? Did it feel historic or anything in that sense to you? Like when you looked at Walt's apartment or when you looked down Main Street, knowing that was the original Main Street, any of those thoughts? Because, I mean, you're a Disney nerd, and I mean, these things would appeal to you, but a casual Disney fan might literally walk down Main Street.
Yeah.
And have no, you know, observations. It would just be like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand. Yeah.
I think I expected it to be super nostalgic, and I expected it to hit me in that way, and it didn't. It was like, I don't know. I'm going to say something that's probably not going to be a popular opinion.
It's the Dubs. We're not popular. Don't worry. So.
There definitely Disneyland has some things going for it that Magic Kingdom doesn't. However, on a whole, I would say it definitely to me was kind of showing its age a little bit more. Like it wasn't as like a regional theme park feels, you know, like we have Elitch's here in Denver and it's like, you know, it's just, you know, it's a big theme park or not, it's an amusement park, but it doesn't like, it didn't have, it wasn't at that level, but right. It definitely wasn't at Magic Kingdom level to me. Like I just felt like, and I know Magic Kingdom is newer, but like they're both older.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem as like fresh or
interesting because right now at Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World, some of those parks aren't feeling that way right now too. True. As well. There's been a, I don't want to say lack of maintenance, but you know what I'm saying? There's definitely that feel of, ooh, that's a little tired, you know, yeah. At this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. Okay. So you're walking down Main Street. You're trying to reconcile memories from decades ago with what you're facing right there. So you've got to be hit with something though. What was your first thought as you passed through? Was it in the plaza, in the promenade? What was your first thought as you approached? I mean, at this point was like a connection with your past? Cause I mean, damn, I have no memories, right? I never went until about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the moment I walked through there, I felt like this is amazing. This is amazing. You know, as I walk through there. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how you try to connect your past with that.
Well, I was excited and I was on the verge of tears as I approached and went through the turnstiles. And it was just, and so I was super happy to be there. I was very excited, but like when I walked through and I see Main Street and it was just like, oh my God, this place is so cute. Like, it's just so cute. Cause it was it's so little. Mm-hmm. I took a picture of from the end of Main Street, you know, down towards the castle. And I sent it to my sister and she was like, oh my God, what, their castle is so small. Yeah. Like you can almost, and I, you know, I was taking it from the far end of Main Street. So like, but it was kind of hard. Like you kind of had to zoom in order to see it. So, I just, you know, I thought it was super cute.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So none of the feeling of nostalgia came over you. None of the feeling of your family memories came over you. And now you're looking for, you know, things to do as a solo traveler, but you're hit with huge crowds on a Monday. So they must've been on fall break. There must've been a whole week of vacation because there's no reason for that. It wasn't the holiday, right? So kids aren't off of school. So it must've been some fall break.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I do know that Halloween time is very popular at Disneyland because it's very festive and it's decorated. But that was the only thing that I could think of because it was October. I don't know. I don't know why it was so crowded, but it was.
Okay. You probably prepared a list of like a good and bad or like pros and cons between the parks. And we could literally go attraction by attraction. But as you're walking through the parks, you'll get to your pro and con list. Did you get lost? Did you not find places? Did you feel like you were a lame duck amongst a crowd of, you know, a sea of humanity?
I sure did. I went in and I basically said to myself, I said, self, here are the things you're going to accomplish today. You're going to have a churro. You are going to see Haunted Mansion Holiday. You're going to go on Pirates. I wanted to also get on the Matterhorn. I didn't make it onto that. And I wanted to try out Indiana Jones. Also was in line for 50 minutes for that. And then it went down. So I didn't get to ride that. It was very sad.
Thank goodness, because knowing you're back, the Matterhorn, it would have put you out for a few days.
That's kind of why I didn't get in line for it, because I was concerned.
Thank goodness. And having Indiana Jones go down, that's not a rarity. That's pretty much the standard operating for Indiana Jones. Okay. This happens quite a bit.
Yeah, so. And Space Mountain was under refurbishment, and which really bummed me out, because that was one thing that I wanted to do. Because, you know, we have similar rides between Disneyland and Magic Kingdom, but they are very different.
Okay. What about like, hey, I expected this to be here, but it's not. Or, hey, where the heck is,
you know, So I do have memories of riding Alice in Wonderland. And I just remember how, like, you know, it's this dark ride, but then you come outside for part of it. I never ran across that ride. Not one single time. Also, I completely missed Toontown. I don't even know where that was. Like, I thought I walked a full circle and I would have seen it, but nope, completely missed it.
Okay. All of a sudden, you got a badge of noob on you as you're walking around this place.
Seriously.
At this point, right?
Yes.
Okay. What about food? How do you plan on eating? You mentioned churro, but
yeah.
But okay.
So to be fair, I really wanted a beer. And you could not find one anywhere unless you went to a sit down restaurant, but I knew there was no chance in heck that I was going to get into a sit down restaurant. I mean, I could have pulled a Chris Malik and just walked up and tried to get in, but
they just seated you immediately. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you know who I am? Do you know what podcast I've been a guest on? Like, hello.
That's worked so well for me in the last few years.
Yes.
So well.
So I basically was like, the first thing I did was, I think I went on Pirates of the Caribbean first, and then I went to Haunted Mansion Holiday. And so I basically decided my strategy for this trip was go left, because that's, you know, counterintuitive to where everybody else was going. So I figured that would help in my touring. Mm-hmm. I don't think it made one bit of difference, but it was like, it gave me a little sense of structure and a plan, because I had none going in. So I basically was like, okay, what is the next thing that I'm going to, like, I want to get a quick service. I don't care what I eat at this point, but I need to eat because I hadn't eaten all day. Mm-hmm. So I ended up at Hungry Bear and I had an impossible cheeseburger and some fries and a bottle of water. so that was unplanned. It was just like, this is here. This is the next food place I will eat here.
God bless you. Hungry Bear always fills that niche when you're at the parks and you don't have a reservation. You're like, I need something. Everyone ends up at Hungry Bear. That's just where they...
And it wasn't real crowded, Chris, surprisingly. I wonder why that was.
Well, hey, okay. I'm just going to leave that one out there.
Okay.
We, too, have eaten at Hungry Bear and enjoyed it, but we have also found that it's not very crowded. So,
yes. Yeah. Okay. And I will say my food was fine. And and I do think also that meal was cheaper than I expected it to be. Like, I want to say it was maybe, I don't even know if it was $20. Maybe it was. And I got the impossible cheeseburger, a big side of fries and a bottle of water. And I was surprised. I expected it to be more, and it wasn't.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to one of our maybe three or four shows ago where I actually made the argument that Disney food, you know, everyone talks about the cost of Disney food, and it's almost equatable to where you eat now at home. The
yes.
price of food at your local grocery store or casual restaurant. It's almost the pricing of Disney food. Disney hasn't raised their prices, and it almost seems, I'm going to squint, value in some occasions.
Maybe.
The flatbread pizza being $11.69 at Saratoga Springs, and you're like, yeah, that's more at Chili's right now, you know, as you realize life has kind of changed for you.
Except for a snack that I had later on a different day when I was in downtown Disney.
Okay, let's talk about that. So you hit Pirates first. And in my opinion, that Pirates in California is different and superior. What is your thoughts?
I agree with you 1,000%. And what's funny is when we first started going, so I went to Disneyland a lot as a little kid, also went to Disney World several times as like an older kid. And when then we took a break. And then when we brought Sarah for her first trip when she was 10, we went on Pirates of the Caribbean, and I remember thinking, good God, that was really short. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff missing in this ride. And then I realized it's because I was remembering the Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland. Because that whole beginning part where you're going through the caverns and you see all the skeletons and all of that, like, it adds, and the, going through the bayou at the beginning. I mean, it was, definitely superior to Magic Kingdoms, for sure.
When you and Brett visit Paris at some point in your life and you decide to make that trip to Disneyland Paris, that Pirates is superior to that one. So it is a fantastic attraction in Paris. Never mind. That was my little aside. But yeah, okay. I get you. Give me something else that you rode that you might consider superior. And then let's talk about things that you might consider inferior if you were.
Okay. So I went on the Haunted Mansion holiday and I cried because I loved it so much.
Oh my gosh, freaking Jack Skellington. Is that what you had over there?
Yes, it was awesome.
I can't connect with that character. Whenever I'm there, I'm always like, is this freaking Jack Skellington? Gosh, bless it. You know, I'm always so disappointed when I have to go through the Jack Skellington version. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's like, I don't even love that movie. I mean, I'll watch it. I don't hate it. But holy cow, some of the stuff that they did in there, like the section with Madame Leota when you're in the seance room like that. And I don't remember what it looks like when it's not Haunted Mansion holiday, but it was, you know, they had these really cool effects with like these floating, really large floating tarot cards. And then of course the Hatbox Ghost is right there. I think it's before you get into the attic scene, but yeah, it was really, really cool. I don't know why I liked it so much. I mean, because it was different and it was, I don't know. It was
okay.
I loved it.
Did you do them in consecutive order? Because they're literally located right next to each other.
I sure did. Okay. Yep.
Very, very cool. So New Orleans Square is your location right now.
Yes.
Really cool as far as a themed area. Also very crowded and very tight in terms of passengers. And,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Give me some other.
That's what I kept saying to my family when they were asking me about it. Disneyland as a whole felt very tight and compact, and like the walkways to me seemed much narrower. Like even the queues, the lines in the queues were very tight. It just felt very tight all the time.
Yeah. And here's why. So if you move to Denver proper or Chicago proper or wherever, they develop their cities in grid fashion, right? And each lot is a 33 by 120, you know, city lot. You see it in every movie where they're in a city. They developed that city plan for the populations they envisioned. They didn't develop for the populations that developed.
True.
Same thing in Disneyland. They developed that for the community, for the locals. And maybe you travel and vision there, but I don't know if Walt ever envisioned it exploding. Meanwhile, they learned from that. And so in 16 years later, when they, you know, opened, you know, Magic Kingdom in Florida, they were like, yeah, we need to develop a little, you know, wider pathway here.
Yes. Point.
So it just can't expand. It just is what it is. You're walking through an old city grid that's just designed for a smaller population.
Yep.
So, okay. Give me some other attractions. Cause right now you've hit two that are major like the apex predators of the Magic Kingdom that are superior in California. Give me some more.
Okay. Another one that is also far superior is their Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yes.
Holy cow.
That girl.
That is amazing. It feels like it might be longer. I feel like it's a fairly good length in Magic Kingdom too, but this one seemed a little bit longer and holy crap, it was faster. It was. Yeah.
Why do we get the dumbed down versions in Walt Disney World?
I don't know.
I agree with you on everything you've said so far. Yeah. And I say that jokingly. So, I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, we got the dumbed down versions because they're really cool. I mean, the attractions, Haunted Mansion is wonderful and Magic Kingdom. Yes. So is Big Thunder. But when you see that it's country cousin out west and you're like, wait a minute, that's a better attraction.
Yeah.
Why did we get the other version?
I know. Yes.
Well, let's boost up the Magic Kingdom in Florida. Give me an attraction that disappointed you, if you don't mind.
Small World.
Oh, the Outside In disappointed you.
No. Well, I love the outside. Loved it. I love the facade of the build, all of that. And I love that they have Disney characters, you know, throughout in their dolls. But it's that whole like feeling of being compact and kind of constricted. It just seemed smaller. The ride wasn't any shorter. The ride was probably the same length, if not maybe longer. I don't know. It seemed very tired on the inside. Oh, is that made out of cardboard? Like I can tell that's pretty plywood right there.
Okay. Completely valid.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Did you ride? I can't imagine you did. Did you ride Autopia?
I did not.
Okay. I know you laugh. It sounds goofy. I felt like the Autopia was a really cool attraction there and long, but you know, the Tomorrowland Speedway is a different version of that. Yeah. And I thought they got the lesser version in Magic Kingdom as well, too. The Autopia, not that anyone's traveling to California to visit the Autopia, but if you're there, you're like, okay, no, it's fun. It's cool. Yeah. And it's almost off road. There are parts of the track where it's not paved like you think it should be. It's intentional. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. To be honest, I feel like I probably, hold on, let me look at my map. I feel like I probably walked past it.
And you never gave it a second look. You were like, I'm too good for this. I can tell.
Wait, of course, where is it?
Hang on. By the way then, Tamara, you're also in line as a solo traveler, as a woman riding the Autopia. Yeah, I can imagine weird. That look probably
entered. Listen, here's where that also felt very weird, but I'm so glad I did it, was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I'm like literally between families with these little kids, just some grown ass woman. I mean, you know, just standing in line like, hi, everyone. I'm an adult and I'm waiting in line for this child's ride.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone and let me enjoy my Mr. Toad. So,
yes.
Special shout out, though, to Wind in the Willows. Watched it my first time on my recent trip to Disneyland. Never saw it before. Loved it.
I don't think I've ever seen it either. I just remember reading the books.
Oh my gosh. You need, it's a double feature, that and Ichabod Crane.
Yes. That's right.
It's on Disney Plus. So worth it. If you're a Mr. Toad fan or you want to prepare yourself for the Mr. Toad trip that you're going to go on, which is the trippiest thing you'll ever be on.
Yes.
Yeah. Go see that.
Yes.
Outstanding. The food quality, when you went for your churro cart and you had a snack, you enjoyed that churro. It was fresh. Because that's the churros there is like that's the biz, you know, over there.
Okay. And I don't usually like a churro, but I was like, well, everybody says Disneyland churros, you have to have one. So of course I had to have one. And it was fresh. It was really good. Like I would eat another one, even though I'm not a churro person. And I just got a regular churro, just nothing fancy, no lightsaber, no special sauce, no nothing.
Well, in a way I'm happy to hear all this. And I'm also disappointed. I mean, the solo trip to a park, knowing you, you might have thought, okay, I'm going to have to go and really do a deep dive and enjoy all the details. But when it's 8 out of 10, if it's holiday, you know, park capacity, it's really hard to relax and unwind and find your Disney Zen moment as you're looking at the windows on Main Street, because you can't get out to Main Street because you're on the side because it's so crowded at this point. So, okay.
And you got it. Their parade there is at 6:30 p.m. And like people were sitting down on curbs and staking places out with like beach towels and blankets. like an hour ahead of time, which then made it all a place that I felt like was already pretty tight, like walking down Main Street. It was bonkers.
Okay. Let's skip the attractions now. Let's pause that. Let's go to your pro and con list, because you got to have other additional pros and cons.
Oh, yeah. For okay. Okay. So I touched on it briefly. The weather was amazing. It was beautiful. Obviously, it's not humid. And that was the beginning of the week. The end of the week, of course, Anaheim went through this crazy heat wave. And when I left, it was like in the 90s. But Monday, it was the perfect day to go to the park. And it was exciting because as soon as the sun went down, I was like, oh, it's chilly. I must buy myself a Disneyland hoodie. So did that.
So we're not with humidity at this point. We're not with the usual humidity and other park.
No. Doors. And that was going to be my next point. The other thing, and I don't know how to word this in an appropriate fashion. Because there wasn't a lot of humidity, I would also say there was a delightful absence of others' personal scents.
Gotcha.
That are stinky.
Nice. Yeah. So hang on. Do you think that deals more with, how can I say this too? International bathing grooming habits or local bathing grooming habits, or was it weather? There's part of that equation there, you know.
I think it's the humidity in Florida. Gotcha. Right, you can't help but sweat all the time, and you can shower regularly and wear deodorant and you're still going to be just dripping in sweat, and some people have a personal scent.
Very smelly. They're just smelly. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
We have a special word for it in my family, but I don't know if I can say it.
Well,
I won't.
We won't say it. Maybe after post show we'll say it. So, okay. Give me another pro.
Let's see. You know what else was kind of fun? And I didn't ride it. I have some definite regrets, but I didn't stay till midnight because I was too tired. But the monorail. You can ride the monorail. You can like take it into the park. Like, you know, at Magic Kingdom, you're outside the park when you get off the monorail. Like, you can take the monorail. I'm assuming you can take it from Disneyland to California Adventure. Can you?
No.
No?
No. It brings us through California Adventure, but there's no official stop. There's a station inside of Disneyland at the Tomorrowland station right by the Autopia. And And it will deposit you essentially halfway by downtown Disney, or on the you know, the early part of downtown Disney.
So I thought that was kind of cool that you know, you could access the monorail from within the park. The other thing, the cast members there were like so friendly. I mean, I don't have a problem usually with cast members in Disney World either, but like these folks were just like, I don't know. It was like a genuine, authentic friendliness, not like I'm trying to make magic because I'm supposed to, because I'm a cast member. Like they seemed authentically nice and friendly and like would chit chat with you. So that was my pro.
Can I speculate? Can I just speculate why?
Yeah.
Because that trip to Florida might be your once in a lifetime trip to make magic, to have magic happen to you and your family.
True.
But the trip to California, you might be a local and that might occur rather frequently. And that cast member may be able to go and enjoy that environment as opposed to being on their A game. They could relax a little bit and really enjoy that environment.
You know? Yeah, that's a good point. And now that you're saying that, like the other thing I noticed, I'm sort of taking a tangent here. At the airport, of course, on my way home, I wore my, you know, a Disneyland hoodie onto the airplane. I did not see a single other person in that airport that had Disney paraphernalia on, which I think speaks to your point of like Disney World is like a vacation destination and Disneyland was more of like, this is where locals go. So that was just something I just realized as you were talking.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
More pros, or have you gotten to the con list at this point?
I think we talked about a lot of my pros already.
Walkability too.
Yes. Between
parks and resorts and everything, right?
Yes. That was so cool. Like, Yeah. So okay. I think those are, yes.
What makes it secondary in your mind?
Well, I think there were a couple of things for this trip in particular, not specific to Disneyland, but going by myself made it a little less fun. I think the price of the ticket for the amount of time that I ended up spending there, and that was on me. Like, I chose not to stay till midnight, but like, I just was, you know, having been up since 3:30 in the morning Denver time, by 9 o'clock, I was like, it's time. I have got to go home. I can't make it to midnight. So,
but that could have also been including the amount of effort you had to go and expend to travel through the park. If you weren't pushing through people,
true,
and fighting through people, you true know, if you had walked a little more freely, you might yes not have had that issue at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair too, I probably should have stayed to give it a shot to see if the crowds would have thinned out a little bit as we got closer to midnight. But I was also a little, my mom was in my head a little bit. So I was a little nervous about like, okay, walking back to the hotel at midnight is probably different than 9 o'clock.
Yeah. The answer to that question though is it does. It does. Families go home. And that's really a tip for all the parks is everyone rope drops, rope drops, rope drops. Everybody rope drops. But families go home early. Yeah. So I can get done in the last 2 hours of a park, 2.5 hours of a park. What would take me five and a half, six in the middle of the day? I can, you walk on a Jungle Cruise, right? Yeah. You get almost all the way up to Indiana Jones, should it be working, you know, in the last, you know, few hours of the park.
Yeah. So
it does happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we talked about the other ones, like just that feeling of being constricted, and it was very compact. The crowds, obviously. Space Mountain being closed, like my lack of research, because that's the other thing too. Everybody was like, you know, oh, you don't really have to plan a Disneyland trip like you do a Disney World trip. Like, I have spreadsheets when we go to Disney World. I didn't really do a lot of planning, and I kind of wished that I would have studied a map a little bit more just to have a better overview of and like a lay of the land. Cause yeah, now that I'm looking at this map now, I'm like, good Lord, Mickey's Toontown really is way far back there. And I did not go past, like, Small World was probably as far back as I got.
Did you buy anything to assist? Did you buy like the Lines app? Did you buy Max Pass? Did you buy anything to help your day?
Well, I have a Touring Plans subscription, mm-hmm, and I have one to both Disneyland and Disney World. And I did create I used it for wait times, the Lines app, like to see how it compared like the posted waits versus what the actual waits were. Cause I feel like they do a pretty good job of giving you a real wait time as compared to the posted one. So I used it for wait times, but I didn't create a park touring plan, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And you didn't upgrade for the Max Pass at this point?
No, I was really worried about the availability, like paying $25 to do whatever Genie Plus. I don't even know. Is that what they call it? I think.
Yeah, I apologize because the last time I was there was Max Pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yes. And I just was worried that I was going to buying it so late in the day that I wasn't going to be able to get my money's worth out of it. Looking back on it now, I feel like maybe I should have done it. I mean, good God, if you're already dropping 170,
what's 25?
That's 25 more.
Okay. Let's take you out of the parks now. Let's talk about Downtown Disney, and it's referred to as Downtown Disney still in California. Everyone that's listening that is a Floridian or goes to Florida knows it as Disney Springs, but it was Downtown Disney at one point as well too.
Yeah.
Describe, let's compare and contrast as well.
Also very small. You go through security, which honestly ends up being great because as soon as you go through security and if you walk, so the where I entered Disney, nope, not Disney Springs, Downtown Disney, mm-hmm, was where the monorail station was. So it's closer to Disneyland, the Disneyland Hotel. You go through security, easy peasy. They do not have the quick security like we do in Disney World. Like now, like you still have to unzip everything in your bag and have them go through all the pockets in your bag. You put your bag on a table, then you walk through the x-ray machine. Like it's like old school security. But once you go through security, like that's the only time you have to do it if you want to go to a park because you walk.
There's no way into the park without getting through security well in advance.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it makes getting through, you know, getting up to the ticket turnstile much easier because you've already done it. So the fact that you can act like you can get, that's the other thing, you can get to the entrance of California Adventure and Disneyland just walking through downtown Disney, like that was mind blowing to me. That was crazy. And it's probably, I don't even know, would you say like a fourth of the size of Disney Springs? Like it's basically one line, like one strip. And for the most part, one side is all the shops and one side is all the food.
Yeah.
So exactly. Super easy to navigate. Very easy to navigate.
It's charming. It's charming. It's fun. It's a couple hours, whereas Disney Springs is a half day or longer
Absolutely.
Of an experience. If you're going to really go and explore every shop, or not, I mean, not every shop, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're going to involve yourself there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to downtown Disney on a morning just separate from the day I went to Disneyland, and I rope dropped the hand up corn dog cart because that's the other thing I've heard is that you have to have a corn dog when you're in Disneyland. They didn't open till 10. But I ate a corn dog. I was their first customer of the day and I had myself a corn dog before 10:30 in the morning.
Hang on. So was there anybody else in line or was it just you by the corn dog cart?
It was just me. But as soon as I ordered and paid for it, and then you have to wait because it's like freshly made. So they're like, just so you know, it's going to be like 8 to 10 minutes for us to make it. And I was like, yep, that's fine. I'm here because I know they're fresh and I want to try it out. So I went and I waited. And by the time I had, you know, waited a couple of minutes, there was suddenly a big line. So it worked out perfectly in my favor.
I was ready to assign you hashtag awkward, but like, heck, the line booked in behind you. What do you think of the Disney store?
Also much small, like everything is just so small compared to Disney World. I liked it though, because it did not, like, good God, every time we go into the world of Disney and Disney Springs, I'm like, okay, get your, you know, I think of, Finding Nemo, like, you know, your exit buddy, like you mm-hmm. have to stay with your people or you will lose them. Mm-hmm. This was definitely not like that. And I was there, I think Downtown Disney opened at 9 and I got there at 9. So, and not all the stores were open and some of them did not open until 10. So it wasn't as crowded when I got there. It didn't feel as like overwhelming, like, oh my God, there's so many people. Like it was not as anxiety inducing as the World of Disney and Disney Springs is.
Gotcha. If you've not been to California before and you're like, okay, I need to put a picture in my mind of where these resorts are and the parks are. So if I could equate the distance, the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier are not located right next to the park entrance. There's a walk, but I would put it on par with perhaps where maybe if you had to walk from the Poly to Magic Kingdom is about how far you'd have to walk from the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier. The Grand Californian has an entrance into downtown Disney, yeah, which then leads you to the entrance to the parks. And that would be on par with probably pretty close to where Bay Lake Tower would be in terms of the Grand Californian in the back entrance.
Like even that is a little bit longer.
Maybe.
Bay Lake to Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty close. It's really convenient. It's designed just because they're landlocked. And yeah. So occasionally a news story will pop about Disney purchased 3 acres of property, or they purchased the Encinita Hotel and is going to knock it down. And there's always ideas of how it can expand. But literally, as soon as Walt built, you know, his mm-hmm. version of Magic Kingdom, as soon as Walt built Disneyland, Harbor Boulevard went, yeah, and all of a sudden all these hotels popped up and all the Howard Johnson's popped up and you know,
yep,
Poppin' Fresh Pies popped up. And it was all of a sudden they said, we're going to capitalize upon this.
Yeah.
So you became landlocked immediately from Absolutely. Orange groves of nothing to all of a sudden, which is part of the motivation why he wanted to buy 27,000, you know, why Walt built a resort and said, you know what, I'm building so much land through all these dummy companies.
Yes.
You're going to have to be transported to my area here.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep everybody out. It's part of the motivation for that. So give me some thoughts though, wait a minute. How much did that corn dog cost? You mentioned something that I wrote a note here. How much did that cost you?
So it cost, I feel like it might have been on par, if not a little bit more than my Hungry Bear dinner.
Wow. So just a corn dog cost you 15, 17, 20 bucks, somewhere around
there? Yeah. And a bottle of water. Okay. And it also came with a bag of Lay's potato chips, which I didn't even want, but it was included in the price.
Good thing the water counteracted the deep fried corn dog goodness.
Sure, right? It did. Yes.
It was the water that helped. Okay. So leave us with something here at this point. Give me your Walt Disney World veteran view on Disneyland. Who does it appeal to?
Mm-hmm.
How long should they go? And like leave us with something for someone that's never been to California.
Well, I would say if you're somebody who has younger kids and you're trying to decide, should I go to Disneyland or should I go to Disney World? And it's like you've not been to either of them. I would say start at Disneyland because it's so much more because that's where the condensed version, I think, is a benefit. Because you can, it's easy to do. It's easy to take a break and come back. I mean, it's less overwhelming, right? Disney World is so overwhelming because there's four different parks, plus two water parks, plus Disney Springs. Like, there's just so much to do. So, and I would say you probably could do, 2 or 3 days would be plenty, in my opinion.
Good point about the little kids, because there's easy return. Yeah. And in Walt Disney World, there's no easy return, unless you're staying right on you're staying at a Magic Kingdom resort or an Epcot. But if you're staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and you're at Magic Kingdom, it's like, yeah, good luck. It's an hour from the back of the park to the bus.
Seriously.
And then it's 35 minutes from the bus to the resort. So if you go back for your afternoon nap, time that well, because that might be the afternoon, for you.
Yep, sure.
Okay. Three words. Describe Disneyland Park as a solo traveler, or I guess just in general, describe Disneyland Park in three words.
It's so cute.
Okay. And I guess that really is telling, because that's the three words we can muster. We're not talking about value, about nostalgia, about love, about Walt.
I know. And I feel horrible about that, Chris. Like, I really was like, okay, you're going to the park where Walt actually walked and there's his apartment. And I was just like, that's neat. But it wasn't this, like, I really expected to walk in and just be like enveloped with this sense of nostalgia and, and emotion. And I didn't. And I do think there's some other personal reasons why I have some baggage with California from things that happened to me as a kid growing up here.
I didn't want to say it. I was saying, I'm sure some of those were mixed with memories. They may not be what you want to remember. So, okay.
Yes, which is why, and my mom would take me to Disneyland to escape some of that. So while that's kind of how Disney became a happy place for me and a place to go to escape things, I think that was probably playing at the back of my mind too.
Okay. I was hoping I was going to see some blubbery, ugly tears as Tamara walked through and people would be staring at this woman. What is going on with that woman? It didn't happen. Okay.
No, thank God. I did cry in my Doom buggy a little bit through Haunted Mansion Holiday, but I was by myself and nobody else saw.
No one saw you. Okay. What merch did you buy besides your sweatshirt? Anything?
I bought a Spirit jersey. And I really wanted to get the skeleton Mickey popcorn bucket because it was so freaking cute. That's another con. You couldn't find them anywhere. They were totally already out of them.
Really?
Yes. And there were some other advertised souvenir cups, a stainless tumbler type of a cup that was to celebrate the 100th year of Disney at the restaurants that didn't have them in stock. Even their reusable bags at World of Disney, when I bought my Spirit jersey, I was like, oh, I definitely want. And they're like, well, we only have this one size, which it was fine. But they just didn't have a whole lot of things like that in stock. That was surprising.
So you had to buy the jumbo, double, mega, extra large bag for your one Spirit jersey and walk onto the plane with this one, with this body bag size bag.
In where I live now, you have to buy you have to bring your bags to the grocery store now. Okay. Otherwise they charge you to use their cheapy, 10 cents a bag. So yeah. I'm all about collecting reusable bags. So it's all right.
Okay. Let me throw something in at the end just for people, because I'm not a Disneyland veteran by any means. It's been three trips now for my family, and we've enjoyed all three trips, but we've not taken them to compare them to Walt Disney World. We realize it's a different version of travel. It's a different version of the parks. And as long as you take them independently, it's fun to do comparison and contrast for things like the attractions, but food is different. It's definitely smaller. It's not necessarily in size, but in everything, in terms of walking distance, in terms of pathways, in terms of you're right. It is cute. You're right. It is cute, but it doesn't feel, it doesn't have that grandiose, overwhelming feeling. And it's a pro and it's definitely a con. So you pointed out accurately. But you know, all in all, if you want to start or you need that break, because it definitely feels different. It is not Magic Kingdom repeat. It is definitely different. Mm-hmm. It does help cleanse the Disney palate if you've been to Magic Kingdom repeatedly.
For sure.
It definitely can.
Yeah. I think I wish I would have gone in with much lowered expectations. I think I went in with very high expectations from the historical Disney nostalgia part. And I really was not expecting crowds like that on a Monday at the beginning of October. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, a lot of Disney podcasts will just hit upon the good news and whatnot. And this is the accurate, this is the, you know, the true representation of a veteran, you know, in Disneyland in California. It's cool.
At least, you know, this person's representation. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. So anyone has any questions though, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to contact you?
Probably on Facebook. I'm in Edcot in the group. That's probably the easiest, quickest way to find me.
Yeah. We have a lot of people that are, you know, Walt Disney World veterans and Disneyland novices, but can give you an accurate, unvarnished opinion if you have a question. Join us in Edcot, EDCOT. All right. So thank you for spending the morning with us. We're going to let you get on with your day and enjoy whatever you got planned for today. So for my friend Tamara, for myself, I'd like to thank you. We want to wish you a great day.
Bye, everybody.